So I am now going to talk to you. We're going to set the direct preliminaries for these Bardo teachings altogether. And we're going to start by discussing what is kind of the organizational template, the doctrinal template for all these Bardo teachings. There are three central, they're called orienting generalizations. That's a good term. Orienting generalizations. These are the archetypal templates, the GPS. This is the kind of the hardware of the GPS that we're installing. And there are three of these that we're going to talk about. I'll get through one or two of them now, and then we'll come back after lunch. And this is really quite beautiful. I came across this. You may remember this quote. If you can tell me who this came from, I was going to say I'll give you a free book, but I'm too cheap. To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. Who said that? To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. Not quite. Somebody more profound, believe it or not. Dumbledore. From Harry Potter. Yeah, not bad. I read that, I said, way to go. To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. What we're going to be doing with these orienting generalizations is we're going to organize the mind so that this does become the next great adventure. This does create the GPS. So there are three of these central orienting generalizations that we're going to unpack. So here's the first, the painful Bardo dying. That's Bardo number one. And we'll define it, obviously, a lot. I'll go through all the stages and everything. That's what's coming up. That ends in death, at the moment of death. At the moment of death, you will be exposed to the nature of your awakened mind. You are heading home when you die. It's a homecoming. You're going to descend into the nature of the awakened, enlightened mind. With that view, I mean, talk about a view. And this is why I mentioned last night, the highest practitioners look forward to death, not in a suicidal fashion, but because they know where they're going. So the second Bardo, this is called the luminous Bardo of Dharmata, Dharmata, the luminous Bardo of Dharmata. Dharmata is a Sanskrit word, basically means suchness, isness, reality. It's a luminous Bardo of the awakened mind. And it's extraordinarily subtle because enlightened mind is very subtle. The entire Tibetan Book of the Dead is basically, half of it's devoted to this Bardo. For most of us, this Bardo happens in a finger snap. For us, it's associated with our level of recognition of deep, dreamless sleep. How many here, you know, you think lucid dreaming is a little bit tricky. How about lucid sleep? There are sleep yogas in this tradition where you can maintain consciousness, 24/7 consciousness, where the mind literally never turns off. The mind of a Buddha, literally the awakened one, literally, etymologically, the awakened one, Buddhas. The mind of a Buddha does not fall asleep. The body reposes, goes into rest to reconstitute the elements, but the mind never turns off. So the mind of a Buddha never shuts down. So the luminous Bardo Dharmata, to get an intimation again, based on last night's experience, I can infer I'll have a hard time in the Bardo tomorrow. If you don't recognize deep dreamless sleep, which most of us like, are you kidding me? Like, that's like the epitome, that's the apogee of ignorance. You will not recognize the luminous Bardo Dharmata. But that's the nature of your mind. That's what you drop into every night. This is the common bed. We all share this bed of mind. We all sleep together every night. When we drop into deep, dreamless sleep, we're dropping into this bed of mind. So the luminous Bardo Dharmata is all about that. And this is where you're going when you die. Most of us will not recognize it because it's formless. I'll talk more about this later. It's too subtle. It's formless. We do not identify with formless awareness. We identify with the forms that occupy and appropriate that awareness, i.e. things. So what happens is then, third Bardo, we don't recognize it. We could say we black out. It's a total blackout, just like deep dreamless sleep is a blackout. And the next thing you know, you wake up. And actually for most non-practitioners, you don't recognize this either. It's just like a non-lucid dream. Karma reignites. You're propelled out of your body. You take on a mental form, just like in a dream state. You wake up in what's called the karmic Bardo of becoming. In the karmic Bardo becoming, all hell breaks loose. All heaven breaks loose in the Bardo of Dharmata. We're not familiar with heaven, so we run from it. We run into the karmic Bardo becoming, where all hell breaks loose because karma is unleashed. in unmitigated fury. Second half of the Tibetan Book of the Dead describes this. And then, of course, if we can't stand the onslaught of our own mind, we run yet again from that, usually completely unconsciously. Without control, the winds of karma then blow us involuntarily into what? Another life, again and again and again and again and again. For hundreds of trillions of lifetimes, we've been going through this cosmic recycling. Until we catch on doctrinally and experientially, unfortunately, the teachings are not very, they're a little bit wrathful here. You know, it's just reality. It's not like, you know, there's nobody going to save your non-ass in the bardos, according to this tradition. You have to save yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. That doesn't mean you can't call on help. That doesn't mean through the power of your devotion there aren't entities and forces that can help you. For sure there are. But unless you engage in some preparatory practice, just look at what happens every night. You'll get a taste of what's going to happen after you die. Oh my God, it's so depressing. So those are the three orienting generalizations in relation to the bardos altogether. The kind of doctrinal template for all the bardos is what's called the Trikaya, T-R-I-K-A-Y-A. Literally means three bodies. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about that. And then the last one we're going to talk about is not as strictly, this is where I'm going to take a little bit of a stretch. This is not strictly a Buddhist description, but I have used it, and it explains to me more elegantly than anything I've come across what happens through this entire kind of cosmic cycling of life and death altogether. And this is a teaching that has its origin in Plotinus, the great Western mystic, when he talked about, do we have any philosophers here? He talked about what's called efflux and reflux. Sri Aurobindo talked about it. Ken Wilber picked it up, talks about it. And this is called the process of involution and evolution, because that's kind of an application of the Trikaya in a graphic form that has helped me tremendously understand this entire play of life and death.